Welcome to How to Live Cancer-Free with Bill Henderson, best-selling author of three books on healing cancer successfully. Now, here's Bill Henderson.
Hello, folks. It's Bill Henderson with How to Live Cancer-Free. We're in a bit of a rush today because I want to get to the interviews almost immediately because we have two great interviews for you, and they take up almost the whole hour here. So let me tell you quickly about our wonderful three sponsors. First of all, our friends at Our Health Co-op have a new product that you ought to try. It's called Constant Health. I'm looking at a large jug of it right now as we speak. It's called Cell Nutritionals. They call it Constant Health Optimizing Immune, Intestinal, and Detox Function. And this is formulated by a physician for them. It's rich in antioxidants. It has protein and fiber. In fact, it has 43 different ingredients. No dairy, no soy or gluten. And it's quality verified, as all of their products are, by independent lab tests. So I strongly recommend you get some of this powder. It's great for putting in a shake. You can actually add it to the cottage cheese and flaxseed oil in the morning if you're making a smoothie, as I've done, and I liked it. To get some of this, go to makinghealthaffordable.com. Their website, if you prefer to call the order desk, it's 1-800-667-0781 on Eastern Time. Outside the U.S., it's area 561-863-5300. Transfer Point Beta-Glucan, as most of you know, is the first thing I take in the morning because it's great for my immune system, and I know how unique it is. Among all the beta-glucans in the world, and there are dozens of them, believe me, this one is unique in that it gets the old neutrophil cells in your immune system working, and that's the majority of cells there are in the immune system. Most of them are in your small intestines, so this is deliberately made to be insoluble to get through the stomach and into the small intestines where it does the most good. To get some of this product, you can go to aboutbetaglucan.com/bspecial in lowercase, and that'll get you a special discount for listeners to this show. If you prefer, call Phyllis or Michael at 1-800-746-7640. Outside the U.S., it's area 678-560-1808. The second thing I take in the morning, of course, is Barley Power Pills. Why? Because these are so good for my alkalinity, which I try to keep as high as I need to, measuring somewhere around 6.8 in the morning when I first wake up in my saliva test. And these people, by the way, sell some of these pH test strips. If you need them, you should probably get these at the same time you get the Barley Power Pills. The little green pills are harvested from the leaves of the young barley plants and cold processed into these pills. And they are wonderful for enzymes. They have virtually every enzyme in the human body. And for this alkalinity boost, which all cancer patients need, by the way. To get some of this, you can go to their website, which is greensupreme.net, or you can call them in Eastern Time in Pennsylvania at 1-800-358-0777. Outside the U.S., area 724-946-9057. Well, stay tuned now, folks. We have a great interview coming up with Dr. Carlos Garcia, and I think you'll find this one extremely interesting. Well, folks, I have a wonderful, interesting guest for you today, Dr. Carlos Garcia, MD. This is one of the finest I've found of holistic healers who actually has an MD after his name. This is a gentleman who's obviously broken the mold of the standard MD and has founded a clinic which is dealing with people with cancer and all kinds of other problems, degenerative conditions of all kinds, actually, in Clearwater, Florida. He's been in that area in Clearwater for about the last 25 years and has a lot of experience that we're going to go into today and talk about in terms of cancer. His clinic is called Utopia Wellness. And if you want to take a look at the website while we're talking, just take a look at Utopia Awaits. Utopia is spelled U-T-O-P-I-A. Awaits is awaits.com. That will bring up a nice website with a lot of nice pictures of Dr. Garcia and his staff and the clinic and lots of testimonials from people. Welcome, Dr. Garcia. It's awfully great to have you on the show today.
Thank you, Mr. Henderson. My pleasure.
Yeah, just call me Bill if you would. I'll call you Dr. Carlos, and we'll, if that's okay.
That's whatever you would.
All right. We have lots of people listening to this show who either have cancer, have dealt with it, or are trying to deal with it, or have a relative or loved one that is working on it. And you've had lots of experience with cancer patients recovering, and there are some great testimonials from people at your website. And I hope we can get Dr. Judy Rosenberg, who recently recovered there in February, literally, who first introduced me to you, by the way, on this show with you to talk about her experience. But tell me about somebody that has recently recovered from cancer at your clinic and what they went through exactly.
Well, I've had a lot of wonderful results with a plethora of different patients who have had advanced cancer or worse, have been told that there's nothing else to do, put your affairs in order, which is one of those things that really, I think, is one of those travesties that can occur to someone who's chronically ill.
Oh, right. Yeah, a death sentence, as it were.
Yeah. Now, recently, we've had several patients who've had prostate cancer and bladder cancer, one lady who had breast cancer, all go into remission. The regimen we set up is a multi-prong approach. One of the things that frequently patients come to me is that they look for alternative medicine.
Yeah.
And one of the things that angers me is that a lot of the mainstream hospitals, or I shouldn't say hospitals, corporations that deal in healthcare.
Yeah, right.
Have set up these alternative or complementary offshoots.
Yeah, really. I've seen that. They're just trying to attract people by giving them the latest attractive mechanism called alternative medicine, whatever that is.
Well, but my beef, as it were, is the fact that they don't really present to them the informed consent, which is basically one of the paramount problems with the way we deal with just about every medical issue in America.
Yeah.
And so they go to this offshoot of mainstream medicine, and they get afforded something like yoga, which is wonderful, or perhaps some other meditation, which is also wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And then they say that's about it. And when they ask, well, is there anything else? And they'll hear something like, well, I'm really sorry, but for your disease, the only thing that's really, you know, proven is you know, radiation, chemotherapy, or surgery.
Right. And they offer a massage or maybe aromatherapy or something like that.
Right.
So that they can say, well, we have a integrated approach to healing here, you know.
Correct.
Good grief. Okay.
and so what angers me about that is because the thing is that there's so much more real medicine that is out there for patients who do have these serious illnesses.
Right.
That it is really a terrible encounter because they have these expectations that they can use an alternative. And when they get there, they hear this, and then they get told by quote-unquote alternative practitioners that there's nothing that they can do. And I'm here to tell you that's not true.
Right. What is a typical regimen that you recommend for a cancer patient if they come to you in late stage like that, as probably a lot of them do?
Well, here's the scoop. We approach it from a lot of different things.
Yeah.
First of all, cancer needs several elements to thrive.
Okay.
Cancer needs an acidic environment.
All right.
Which means that your pH of your saliva is less than 7.0.
Okay.
Two, it needs an anaerobic or a low oxygen environment.
All right.
Which means that if you're anemic, you're helping your cancer. If you're not oxygenating, you're helping your cancer.
Yep.
You need to have a competent immune system.
Okay.
If your immune system is not competent, if it's not healthy, if it's not strong, cancer likes it, you don't thrive.
Okay.
Now, based on Royal Rife's work back circa 1930-ish,
okay,
I believe that cancer comes from viruses. Now, the Europeans think that it comes from fungus.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe in pleomorphism, which is viruses can eventually mutate into fungus, and fungus can mutate into viruses and bacteria and so forth and so on.
Yeah, that's an interesting theory. For those of you that haven't heard of this, it's called pleomorphism, and it's a theory which Royal Rife pretty much established with the microscope he invented back in the 20s, literally, which was very, very powerful. And he was sitting there in front of it for up to 48 hours at a time, watching these cancer cells change form from, you know, a virus to a fungus to back to a virus again. And it's called pleomorphism, and it's a very interesting theory. It's very difficult to prove without a very powerful microscope like he had, but he certainly did, you know, back in the 20s. Yeah, so what do you think is that, okay, of those three things that characterize cancer, the acidic nature of it, low oxygenation of the cells probably, and a incompetent immune system. How do you address those?
Well, I address everything intravenously, and here's why.
Okay.
By the time most patients find me, their intestinal tract has been usually decimated by chemotherapy.
All right.
So they're not absorbing well.
Yeah.
Now, if you don't have access to me, then we or you need to figure out or work on ways of getting your immune system back up to par by doing, in my opinion, colon hydrotherapy would be a good way to do that.
Okay.
By taking probiotics as you're doing the colon hydrotherapy, doing liver flushes, gallbladder flushes if you have it. And these would be very good things to do. And there's a wonderful man named Dr. Schultz, I forgot his first name,
yeah,
in California, who has a wonderful website, and he has very competent, in my opinion, remedies, such as liver flushes and gallbladder remedies.
Yeah, I agree.
So there's a place where people can try to go. So I've opted to use an intravenous route, which will allow me to address the body without having the wild card of how much of it is being absorbed.
I see. Okay.
Now, some people in some websites, like cancertutor.com, for example, which,
yeah,
by the way, I think is a wonderful website.
Is it? Okay, great.
Try to use DMSO, which is an organic solvent carrier, to take certain things through the skin. And frankly, I don't like that approach. But people do what people need to do, depending on their condition and their circumstances.
Yeah, DMSO, those of you that are not familiar with it, it's dimethyl sulfoxide. It's a solvent, really, that goes into the skin and pretty much takes whatever's with it into the body and throughout the body almost instantaneously. So, yeah, Webster Kerr at cancertutor.com talks a lot about DMSO with various substances, trying to essentially give people a self-treatment approach to get things all over their body. And you think that's probably a little dangerous, I guess, right?
Well, truth be told, what needs to happen is, as I tell my patients, is that most patients who have cancer don't have the luxury of learning everything that it's taken me the better part of 15 years to learn.
Right.
So what you really need to do is you really need to have an experienced coach setting you in the right direction so that you can go forth and help heal yourself, because I'm here to tell you that I cannot cure anybody.
Okay? I like
not
that.
Not only can I not cure anybody, a newsflash is no doctor can cure anybody except for themselves.
That's right.
The only person that I can cure is me.
Yeah, right.
And so the first thing that patients need to understand is that doctors can walk on water, provided you freeze it, and then we can play hockey.
Okay.
All right?
I like
it. So the reality here is that we're not gods.
Yeah, right. Okay.
And you know, some of them may think they are, but that's because their head's up their posterior orifice. but you've got to get an education, and you've got to ask questions.
Okay.
Because it's got to be a team effort, and that's what we do here at Utopia. We make it a team effort.
Yeah, boy,
we
I like that.
We empower the patient.
Oh, I love it. I love
because,
it.
Because, you know, there's nothing better than to have you be part of the solution. I mean, let's face it. You've got the problem.
Right.
You've got to either get better or not.
Right.
You have to deal with the ramifications of your choices.
Yeah.
And you've got to deal with your family.
Yeah, and when they get done with you, they got to go home and keep doing whatever they're doing, which hopefully has gotten them well. You know, if they want to stay well, they've got to make some, you know, drastic and permanent changes to their lifestyle in most cases, I would assume.
They do. And again, so what happens? What happens is if you're not made part of the solution, if you don't know what's going on, if you pretend that you can be cured by somebody else,
right,
then you're going to wind up with big problems. And you're going to wind up bitter. And that is my number one obstacle with patients, is lack of confidence in the medical system.
Yeah,
they
okay.
are pissed off.
Yeah, right.
Not at me personally. And it took me about 2 years to figure that one out.
but doctors in general have pretty well turned them off, I guess.
Well, they go in there and they basically buy into that, oh, yeah, well, you know, we can cure this. And or they can't find any more disease, and then they prognosticate that they're cured, only to have a recurrence of the disease 6 or 8 months later, and they haven't been followed up for about 6 or 8 months.
Right.
So So the whole point is that not only is it very good to get rid of your illness, but more importantly, for the next few years, is to have frequent follow-ups to make sure that if there is a recurrence, you can catch it very early. And we have opted at Utopia to use the AMAS test, which is an acronym, A-M-A-S.
Yeah, A-M-A-S test, right.
As the follow-up, because in my opinion, that is the earliest detection test out there.
Okay.
To tell people something's not right with your immune system, ergo you're having cancer.
Yeah, this is a test done by a lab in Massachusetts called the AMAS test. I don't recall what those numbers stand for, but it's a blood test for cancer of any kind, and it's pretty reliable. I think it's something like a 99% actual reliability, something of that nature, but it certainly is, with multiple tests, you can certainly keep track of how your cancer is going, and that's the main thing you need to do, as I understand it.
Correct, and that's exactly what we do with the patient. So, sorry, when we cannot find disease,
yeah,
and the AMAS test goes back to normal, and we do a second test of some type, whatever is appropriate, either an ultrasound or a PET scan or a CAT scan or whatever, and both tests cannot detect any concurrent or actual disease, then what I do to the patient is I say, okay, well, you know, every 6 weeks for one or two times, we'll do an AMAS. You know, then if those two are normal, then come back maybe every 2 months or every 3 months. And, and we work it out because some patients are very, very anally compulsive.
Yeah.
They want to get it checked every 6 weeks. And some people are more laid back and say, well, I'll do it every 3 months.
Right.
And if they offer something that I don't think is in their best interest, especially as soon as they no longer have illness that's detectable, then I tell them that I don't think that their choice is wise.
Yeah.
I don't have to agree with the choices you make as a patient. I just have to respect them.
That's right. Here.
And that's the problem with medicine, is that there's very little respect for the patient's choice.
Boy, isn't that true. Well, you sound so refreshing. It's just amazing. What is the typical stay? If I came there, say, with prostate cancer or whatever, what would be the typical stay for the first visit to your clinic?
The fastest cases that have put themselves in remission have been as little as 6 weeks for actually two patients with stage 4 colon cancer.
Okay.
The stays have lasted as long as a year and a half. I had a lady, for example, who had stage 4 ovarian cancer who took 8 months to put herself into remission.
Yeah.
But she did take about a month and a half off to go to Argentina on vacation, I guess. Okay? Which is good. I mean,
yeah.
She asked me the question. It was a very fascinating question, if I can digress. I will answer your question.
Yeah, sure.
And it was, you know, she comes to me and goes, well, listen, you tell me what to do. I'll do what you say, but I'd like to go to Argentina for vacation with my best friend. And so I said, okay, fine, let me think about it overnight, and I'll talk to you about it in the morning,
since
I treat my patients Monday through Friday. And so she said, that's no problem. So I came back, and I said, you know, after thinking long and hard, I said, we're here to enjoy life. So if it's going to give you enjoyment to go on your vacation in Argentina, that may not be such bad medicine, so go to Argentina. And she did.
Great.
And she came back, and she was, you know, in remission and got herself into remission, and life went on. So part of medicine is realizing that good medicine sometimes is enjoyment and not necessarily doing anything, whether it be natural or not. And in her case, she kept eating the diet that we put on when we put people on the Budwig diet, for example.
Yeah. Very interesting procedure, by the way.
Yeah, and we also make sure that they eat alkaline foods.
Yeah, okay.
Which is very, very important. I have them juice about 8 ounces of asparagus, preferably twice a day, and drink it, of course.
Well, I just had a blurb on the show last week about the great healing of asparagus for cancer. It's wonderful stuff.
But we do a lot of it.
Yeah.
But when they come to the clinic, what they're in essence overwhelmed with is the fact that we approach it from a multi-pronged approach.
Yeah.
Patients who have cancer have allowed their bodies to nurture cancer.
I see.
So there's usually, in fact, there's always been, in all my cases, an underlying problem that needs to be addressed.
Yeah.
And in some cases, they did not want to address it, and the therapies are good enough so that they've gone into remission, only to have the cancer come back.
Yeah.
It's important that people realize that there's a cause, and in my opinion, cancer is not the disease. Cancer is the symptom.
It's a symptom. That's absolutely correct.
What what allowed it to grow, there's the disease. So if you can find out what's so screwed up about your life,
right,
and we can address it and change it, or address it and put it to rest, then you should live a fruitful and productive life and die of something else.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, I'd like you to comment on the three causes. I think you've read my book. You may have read this, but the three that I find are the most prevalent among the people I work with, at least, and that's some kind of an emotional component. Could be a long period of stress, but usually it's some kind of event that occurred a year to a year and a half or so before the first diagnosis that kind of triggered it. That's one possibility. The second one, of course, is what is going on in their jaw, which is root canal treated teeth generally, or what are called cavitations from an extraction site in their jaw. And the third one is what they put in their mouth, mostly diet, but also obviously cigarettes and sodas and recreational drugs and all kinds of junk that we eat, but mostly it's just the American diet. What do you think about those three as covering most of the people that I work with?
I think those are very, very sound causes. I think that our environment, I believe that there's about 8 pounds of pesticides and chemicals released into the environment in America for every man, woman, and child every year.
Incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, and so we are certainly living in a toxic waste dump. For the life of me, I just don't understand why the polluting companies don't understand that sooner or later they're going to be affected by their pollution.
Yeah.
It's not like they're insulated from it.
Right.
What we eat, I tell my patients, it probably costs more to package cereal than it does to make it.
That's
so eat
for
the box
sure.
And throw the cereal out.
I like it.
And of course, then we get to the oral hygiene portion of the program, which is very, very interesting. If you're going to have filling, I would recommend, let me just tell you what I did.
Yeah.
What I did with my mouth was I replaced my amalgam fillings with non-amalgam fillings.
Yeah, okay.
I don't have any mercury in my mouth.
Okay.
Now, I had no problems with my mouth. And unfortunately, I would say that in excess of 99% of Americans don't have problems with amalgam. However, you never know when you set up the perfect storm, as it were,
right,
and those amalgams bite you.
Yeah.
So my advice to patients is, if you're not having problems, as the amalgams become deteriorated, replace them with non-amalgams.
Yeah.
Now, the American Dental Association, who has a patent, my understanding, for the amalgam.
That's right.
Okay? Is probably going to be a little upset at me.
Yeah, right.
But perhaps there may be a conflict of interest, but maybe I'm just silly about that. As far as the root canals is concerned, you really, really need to have a really caring dentist to do it.
Yeah.
And for the life of me, what I would do if I were practicing dentistry, which I don't, but what I would think I would do is I would fill the cavitation with peroxide before draining it. Because I believe that peroxide is a wonderful way of nicely sterilizing that environment. Now, you need to try to extract that layer, all the layers associated with the dental work.
Yeah.
But leaving a very, very clean socket is paramount to preventing the growth of bacteria and basically in a very protected environment.
Yeah, very, very true. It's incredible how many wisdom tooth extractions in particular, but actually any tooth that they take out, if they don't clean the socket out, the bone and the ligament and so on that are surrounding the tooth, and most of them are inflamed with something, the jaw just grows back around it, but it leaves a hole there, and that's where the anaerobic bacteria grow, and they put out all kinds of thioethers, they're called, that are get into your bloodstream and cause all kinds of problems. Well, I'm talking today, this is Bill Henderson with How to Live Cancer Free on webtalkradio.net, folks, and thanks for tuning in today. I'm talking to Dr. Carlos Garcia, an MD who runs a clinic called Utopia Wellness in Clearwater, Florida, a wonderful holistic physician, one of the best I've ever talked to. Of course, we agree on a lot of things, which helps to get us in gear here, and we're going to be doing some other interviews with each other. I wanted to ask you, Dr. Garcia, if you would mention briefly your association with an Indian tribe. I thought that was a very interesting story you told me the other day.
Well, I was talking to a gentleman who makes a particulate silver, and actually his company is in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And so I was explaining to him some of the trials and tribulations that go along with standing alone and trying to do the right thing, which is what it's all about, and to me at least.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you know, why don't you, I know this, the chief of a tribe called the Nemenha tribe.
Nemenha in Florida?
No, they're not in Florida.
Oh, okay.
I believe they're in the Midwest.
Oh, okay.
And so I said, sure, that would be a wonderful concept. I said, but what's the point? He goes, well, you know, it's a good way for you to be able to practice medicine with a different jurisdiction, because if you're deemed adoptable, if you are able to show why they should adopt you,
right,
then you can come under the protection of a lot of the treaties.
Hey, very interesting.
And so I was very, very interested in that particular aspect, because for many, many years, one of the things that a lot of practitioners in alternative medicine do not do is they don't share information very well.
Yeah.
And the reason is because they don't know who's on the other side of the telephone.
Yeah, right. They're a bit paranoid, which you can't blame them with all of the harassment that goes on from the FDA and the medical society and so on.
Right. And so I said, boy, that sounds like a wonderful concept. And so we had a chat, and I explained my situation. I explained my goals and my theories and you know, my desires. And we came to a meeting of the minds, and they have a very brilliant website. I don't know it off the top of my head, but I will communicate it with you.
Okay.
And again, I went through their rituals necessary to be adopted, and they made me a what I call a card-carrying member.
Yeah, okay.
And an Indian medicine man.
Well,
so not only am I now a medical doctor, but I'm also a Native American Indian medicine man, which then affords me the protection of the Indian treaties, which I am very, very happy for.
Hey, interesting, yeah.
And again, it has not affected how I practice medicine. It just affords me a better luxury of sleep at night.
Yeah, well, it sounds like some of the people I know who are relatively paranoid because of their past history of lawsuits and et cetera from people like Quack Watch, et cetera, et cetera, you know, would probably use this information and be able to do a similar path. And I really am grateful for that. I'll pass it on to some of these folks that I know that are wonderful physicians, but, you know, they kind of try to operate under the radar because for reasons that you're quite familiar with, I'm sure. Well, tell me one thing I'd like to leave with people here today as part of this. I know you've dealt with a lot of pain in your many, many years in the medical business, and certainly the last 15, particularly trying to deal with people with natural therapies. But can you give us some natural treatments for pain? Because I hear this a lot from the people that I work with on the phone, you know, trying to help them with information and so on. But they are in pain, and I'm trying to give them something natural that they can take that might relieve it. Do you have any suggestions on that?
Well, pain, I assume, was from cancer metastasis?
Yeah, it's generally something like the pancreas or the liver or the kidneys or something that's in pain.
The best solution that I have found for one thing, to me, all cancer is the same. I don't care if it's in the lungs, the liver, the pancreas, whatever. Cancer is cancer.
Amen. I buy that.
Okay? So don't get hung up on whether I've got pancreatic cancer, whether I've got kidney cancer, would I have this cancer or that cancer.
Right.
Because they're all viruses, and if you can deal with the viruses, then you can deal with the issue.
Hear, hear.
So having said that, in the different cancers that I have inherited with metastases going to a lot of different bones, and the different pains that are associated with it, there are two things that I recommend. Number one is, I have found that in my clinic, cesium usually brings cancer pain under control relatively effectively within 2 weeks.
Interesting. Okay.
That's number one.
Yeah, cesium chloride, I guess.
Yes.
And how do you administer that usually?
I use it intravenously.
Okay.
I don't know exactly what kind of efficacy you would have orally.
Yeah.
But again, I would defer to cancertutor.com for their experience with it.
Yeah, he talks about DMSO being used with cesium as at least something people could try in an extreme situation. One of the problems, of course, is the leaching of potassium from the cells, which I'm sure you're familiar with. Do you test people for that?
Always. All my patients get blood work on Monday.
Yeah.
Monday is blood work day.
Okay.
And everybody is checked their potassium, and you know we adjust it appropriately, either with potassium-containing fruits or vegetables or with potassium supplements orally.
Yeah, okay, great.
I mean, one of the advantages that my patients have over patients who don't have someone with my credentials are basically that I'm able to prescribe whatever is out there.
Right.
And so I could write for potassium supplements as well as potassium from a pharmaceutical grade. So
I see.
Patients can get it. And so one of the things that you need to do is try to find, let me just say this, doctors are not heartless. Let me make that point.
Right.
You just need to take the time to make them understand you're a person. And take away the clinical garb.
Yeah.
So that they get to understand. Because if you can get to the person, and the person can connect with you, the person, then most doctors will be willing to help you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because the incidence of cancer has gone from less than 4% at the turn of last century to over 40% currently.
I know. Isn't that incredible? Incredible. Yeah.
That means that in the last 100 years, more or less, it's gone up over 1,050%.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So it won't be long before you can turn around and say, look to your left and look to your right. One of those two people is going to have cancer.
Yeah, I know. Well, is there any other natural substance that you would say a person could try, you know, for pain? And I know that the alkalinity, of course, helps if you're acid. You know, that tends to promote pain.
The other one is, again, I've had some success with the asparagus.
Okay, yeah.
Very high doses of asparagus. Now, asparagus is an acquired taste.
Yeah, sure.
Which means that you're going to have to mix it most likely with something else.
Yeah.
And you can add, listen, you can make it with berries and strawberries and whatever floats your boat because they're not going to neutralize one another.
Well,
that's
the
beautiful thing here.
Yeah. So you can put it in the blender and mix fruit and things with it to make it taste better then.
Well, I would recommend not putting the asparagus in the blender.
Okay.
I would recommend juicing the asparagus so you can take out the roughage.
I see.
And just get the juice of the asparagus.
Oh, okay.
Then take the berries.
Yeah.
Strawberries, blueberries, raspberries. Put those in a blender.
I see.
And then add the asparagus juice.
Okay, so you take the juice and put it
right.
with the berries. Okay, very interesting.
And the Budwig diet has also helped a lot of patients who are in distress.
You're right. That's primarily the cottage cheese and flaxseed oil, but I guess there are other elements of it that you probably recommend too. Is that right?
Well, what I do is I just throw in order to make it taste better, you take the cottage cheese with the flaxseed oil and let it sit for about 10 minutes so that the chemical reaction occurs.
Okay.
At room temperature.
Right.
Then you can add berries to it or whatever else floats your boat.
I gotcha.
And then you can really, you know, enjoy that. You can use MSM, which is the sulfonated aspect of the MSO.
Okay.
You can buy MS, which is an anti-inflammatory.
Right.
They work reasonably well.
Uh-huh.
And again, just try to go see a chiropractor to see what may be out of alignment. Just because you have cancer, do not think that all the ailments come from cancer.
Yeah, right.
Case in point, I have a lady, really nice lady, who I think is close to being in remission, who has kidney cancer.
Okay.
Renal cell carcinoma.
Yeah.
With metastases, stage 4. And she came in walking like the Leaning Tower of Pisa.
Oh, boy.
She wound up really a lot of pain and this and that, and she is a very lovely lady, but she's one of these people who's very, very scared.
Yeah.
So when you say boo, you've got to peel her off the ceiling. And so what happens here is that we started therapy, and she complained about her pain, so I did a CAT scan to show her that her pain wasn't from cancer, and her belly was fine. And then I sent it to a chiropractor who started to work on her. She's walking much straighter now. In fact, I had to buy an inversion table, and she was so scared of it that I had them set it up in my office so I can show her how to go upside down, and I still have it in my office. So she went on it today for the first time.
I'll be darned.
So she's now getting over her fears. But more importantly is that we also did another test that proved that she has diverticulosis and diverticulitis, which are also causing her to have pain.
Okay, sure.
So one of the things is the take-home message is just because you've been diagnosed with cancer doesn't necessarily mean that everything that goes wrong is attributable just to cancer.
Very, very important message. I agree. Because, yeah, most of the people I work with, they have this mysterious pain that comes and goes and so on. And frequently, I'm sure, it is connected to other things other than the cancer. But, you know, all I can talk to them about is what I've learned about cancer. And I'm not a doctor, so I can't really do what you do. Well, I'm talking to Dr. Carlos Garcia, an MD from Clearwater, Florida, with a wonderful clinic called Utopia Wellness. Folks, if you want to find out more about this and how to take advantage of his wonderful service, just go to the website. It is Utopia Awaits, U-T-O-P-I-A-A-W-A-I-T-S. There are two A's in the middle there, the end of Utopia and the beginning of Awaits, and then .com, and you'll find a great website with a lot of information. You can, there's a phone number there you can call if you want to get an appointment. Dr. Garcia is treating people now remotely, apparently on the phone, so you can try that service out first if you don't want to travel to Florida and see if he can just help you over the phone with your problems. He can certainly do a lot better job than I can. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Garcia. We're going to do this again soon because I really feel you have a great message to give people, and it's got so many elements to it that we haven't been able to touch today, but we'll get back and do this again soon.
One thing is, don't lose hope. It's only over if you want it to be over.
Right.
Okay? Doctors put their pants on one leg at a time.
Okay? Yep, that's
and
right.
No one's guaranteed to wake up in the morning. So don't listen to those guys that tell you to go home and die.
Yeah, don't believe those death sentences, folks. Believe me, they are so frequently overcome by people who live 20 years beyond when they've been given weeks to live by a so-called oncologist. But the real cancer doctors are the people like Dr. Garcia today, folks. These are the kind of folks you need to know and get to know better. So we're going to talk to you again, Dr. Carlos, and thanks so much for this interview today. It's been wonderful.
Mr. Henderson, it's been my privilege to speak with you. I've read your books, and frankly, I'm the one who is in awe speaking with you.
Well, thank you. We'll be getting back together very soon again. And have a great day there in Florida, okay?
Thank you, sir, as well in California.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Dr. Garcia, a wonderful holistic healing physician. Isn't it a shame, I find it appalling, that in this country, a wonderful holistic physician needs to find an Indian tribe to cover him with a blanket in order to protect him from our own FDA and the other government agencies that harass doctors like this that are trying to do their best to help out all their patients. I'm afraid this is the medical system that we have to survive in spite of, folks, so just be aware of it and wish Dr. Garcia well, and if you need some help, it's a wonderful place to call and get wonderful help from a great physician. Well, my three sponsors are very, very helpful for supporting this show, and I am very grateful to them. Green Supreme is a company in Pennsylvania, actually Western Pennsylvania, a wonderful, beautiful farm where the barley plants are grown and harvested when they're very young, and the leaves from the barley plants are turned into the barley power pills that we like, and I'm sure you will too, because they've helped so many of the people that I've worked with, the cancer patients, to recover simply because they give you every enzyme in the human body. It's very simple. You don't have to take any other enzyme products when you take this one. And the other thing they do, of course, is give you a great boost of alkalinity. They also happen to have 72 trace minerals and 20 amino acids in them, so you're getting a lot of bang for the buck. I take 8 or 9 of these every morning. I recommend cancer patients take somewhere around 20 or so a day, and they are wonderful healing. To get some of these, you call 1-800-358-0777 in Eastern Time, outside the U.S., area 724-946-9057. You can also go to their website, which is greensupreme.net. Transfer Point Beta-Glucan, the best beta-glucan product on the market and really the best immune-boosting product out of several dozen that has been tested against, some of which I've recommended over the years. It came out on top in different university tests at University of Louisville and Harvard University both. So this product is superior in terms of getting your immune system in order and keeping it very strong every day. And all you have to do is take this once a day, which makes it very convenient. You take only one for a maintenance dose like me because I'm not diagnosed with any condition. If I were, I would take about 4 a day, which means 1 per 50 pounds of body weight. So if you're 150 pounds, you'd take 3 one time a day in the morning before you eat. Very convenient. To get some of this product, you go to aboutbetaglucan.com/bespecial. You'll get a special discount for listeners to this show. You can call Phyllis or Michael if you like at 1-800-746-7640 in Atlanta or area 678-560-1808 outside the United States. The product that has just come out from Our Health Co-op is called Constant Health, and I would like you all to try this. It's a great additive to the smoothie that you make in the morning with cottage cheese and flaxseed oil because it has all kinds of ingredients, and you'll be surprised. It's about 43 different ingredients in this, and it's advertised by Our Health Co-op, the people that I trust the most for every kind of supplement imaginable, as optimizing the immune, intestinal, and detox functions in your body. I would strongly suggest you try some of this. It comes in a French vanilla flavor, which is the one I like. And like all of their products, it's been tested in the lab independently to make sure it has what it says on the bottle. In this case, it's a large jug. To get some of this, you can call them at 1-800-667-0781 outside the United States area, 561-863-5300. The website is makinghealthaffordable.com. Stay tuned now, folks. We have a lady to talk to you who has actually used Dr. Carlos Garcia's services and recovered from her cancer last year. Stay tuned. Well, hello, folks. We're back, and we have a very interesting guest for you here with Dr. Garcia because this person has enjoyed his services. And as you heard, he is available and interested in helping people, either remotely by telephone with consultations or in person. And we're going to talk to Dr. Judy Rosenberg Ben-Israel, who went to him last June 2008, and is going to tell you about her experience with him. Dr. Rosenberg is a chiropractor in Toronto, Ontario, in Canada, and she is a 54-year-old cancer survivor, and she's working very hard on keeping herself free of cancer. Welcome, Dr. Rosenberg. We're awfully glad to have you.
Thanks
for sharing your experience with folks. Tell us a little bit about how you found out about Dr. Carlos Garcia in Clearwater, Florida.
After I was diagnosed with breast cancer in February 08, I called to cancel a chiropractic seminar that I was supposed to attend, and the person who was teaching is a chiropractor from the Clearwater area in Florida. And he said to me, go to Dr. Garcia, he'll save your life.
Well, I'll be darned.
So, I mean, I figured, okay, well, I go to these seminars given by this chiropractor, I'll follow it up.
Yeah.
And so Dr. Garcia spoke to me on the phone. He seemed very opinionated and very firm about his beliefs, which for a patient who's a little shaky, not knowing where to go, and very scared, that seems to be very comforting.
Yeah.
You know, somebody who you really say, well, this is kind of interesting. Let's find out why. Because it's the whys that you really want that nobody's really willing to give you because they're very hard to answer. The thing was, I had already had surgery by the time I phoned him, which was my big regret because I would have skipped that step.
Yeah, really.
I would have gone straight down to him. But anyway, we started when we started, and he talked to me on the phone for 2 months. In fact, before I went down there.
I'll be darned. So you started contacting him in February.
In about March, after my...
March, yeah. And you didn't go down there until June, huh?
No, I had a breast infection, and I had nurses coming to my house every day to put all kinds of bandages in an open wound.
Oh, I see.
The size of a pocket. And I suppose if he had realized what was going on, he might have said, well, I have nurses here. I can do that for you.
Yeah.
But it never occurred to either of us. So I started to do his diet and do the treatments, similar treatments that he would have done, but not exactly the same. He had some ingredients that made him very, very special.
Yeah.
And he, you know, you always know when somebody is very truthful and honest, they're willing to share their protocol.
I see, yeah.
And not for a minute did he say, you have to come. He said, find somebody that will do my protocol, and you can do it in Toronto.
Well, I'll be darned. So he was talking to you on the phone with some kind of advice, but he wasn't charging for this at all?
No, not at all.
Well, that's incredible.
But now, I never felt as a patient that I was taking advantage of him because I fully intended to go down to him as soon as my wound healed.
I see.
You see, so it's not like I felt I was wasting his time in any regard, and he never made me feel that way.
Yeah. But you, he said he had read my book, and of course, I guess you had too. Did you discuss at all his protocol as compared to the so-called Bill Henderson protocol at all?
No, we never got into details of that nature.
Yeah, okay.
He was very big on the Budwig diet.
Yeah.
So we started with that.
All right.
There are a lot of things that you recommend. Lots and lots of things.
Yeah.
And he picked and chose, you know, ones. He says you can't do everything and you can't overwhelm people from a point of starting from zero to start doing everything.
Right.
So you start very slowly and you keep adding and adding and adding.
I see.
That's how it seems to go. I asked him about a number of things when I was down in the clinic. What about this? What about that? And he says, in this particular clinic, I want the biggest bang for the money.
Yeah.
So I'm going with the big stuff. And the big stuff for him are his IV treatments and his particular protocol.
Yeah.
Now, everybody is getting an individualized treatment in his clinic, but he has certain components in his IV drip that are maybe unique to him because he picks and chooses from what's done, excuse me, all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And has tried things that are more and less successful in his particular clinic.
Oh, great.
I mean, I didn't know until I got down there that he was curing stage 4.
Yeah.
People who are sent home to die. I didn't know that. I just went on, you know, the word of a colleague of mine.
Yeah, sure.
I've asked him, you know, why don't you do this? He says, you can do that. I do this because this is what's working for me.
Yeah. Did you try some the things you were doing before you went down there? Did you notice some improvement in your condition?
How do you know? I had a lump almost 3 centimeters in my breast, and
yeah.
I felt 100% fine, and I looked fine.
Yeah.
So how you feel is not relevant when it comes to cancer.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, it's totally insignificant. People told me, oh, you look great. You know, I told them I've got a tumor sitting in me. Of course I go, you know, what does it mean to look great? People
yeah.
tell me right now I look great.
Right.
But I have to tell you, after I came home from Florida, they told me I looked 20 years younger.
Wow, how about that?
Like, and I hear that every single day. So there's something very special in that IV drip of his.
Wow, terrific.
I mean, I think people think he might be the source who could walk on liquid water. There are enough people around who might say that.
Yeah, he mentioned that doctors walk on water as long as it's frozen and they could play a little ice hockey on it.
He seems to see himself, and I'm sure most of all the patients, at least the ones that listen to him, see him as a very warm and fuzzy doctor.
Yeah.
He does something that is very different. That really people should realize. I'm of the my personal opinion is that cancer is a psychological disease.
Okay.
I sat in a clinic for 4 months and talked to patients all day because I like to interview them, and each patient had a reason why they thought that they had cancer.
Yeah.
And it had nothing to do with the food they were eating. Maybe it was because of the food and the air and the rest of it as contributing factors. But everybody had an emotional stressful event in their life, whether they shared it or they didn't share it. They all knew why they got cancer. And I mean, if you ask someone, do you know why you have cancer? Oh yeah. That was the kind of answer you get without any hesitation.
I'll be darned.
And he addressed that psychological issue. It not that he would speak to the person about their personal problems necessarily, because not everybody's open.
Yeah.
But he didn't push it away. He knew that it was part of the whole thing.
Okay, that's a very interesting observation because I've interviewed at least 3 people, a couple of chiropractors and a holistic psychotherapist last year about the German New Medicine approach, which you're familiar with, I'm sure, and they said every patient that they dealt with since they became familiar with it has fit the mold, you know, Dr. Hammer's mold as far as emotional basis for their problem. So, hey, I'm not surprised, but it's interesting that everybody you talk to there at the clinic seemed to have an immediately recognizable emotional component. Is that about right?
Well, that's what I found, but I knew why I got cancer.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to in joking, say, well, they didn't give me cancer yet. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I mean, this was no surprise to me that I got it in the first place. But he addressed it the first day I got there, and I hadn't told him anything.
I'll be darned.
Nothing. Like zero.
Yeah.
And he addressed it, and he was on my case he would ask me like about once a month, so how are you making progress?
Mm-hmm.
Because I wasn't going for psychotherapy.
Yeah.
I had to deal with my issues, and he gave me some tips, he gave me some guidelines, and I eventually solved the whole issue a few months ago. And he warned me. He said, if you don't solve this, it's coming back.
Yeah, that's right.
And that seemed to be the case.
Yeah.
So,
and these issues, they're only important if they haven't been resolved, you know, and sometimes, of course, it's subconscious. It's not always something you're aware of to whether you resolve the issue or not. But in your case, I think you were. It sounds like you're
aware, but I had to learn how to deal with my subconscious.
Yeah, sure.
And that he clearly taught me.
That's neat.
And it wasn't by spending hours with therapy. It was giving me guidelines on how to do it myself.
Yeah.
You drove
down there in June of 08, is that
yes,
right?
Yes.
And how long did you stay at the clinic as an outpatient? Were you living?
We're all outpatients. I had to find a place to live.
Yeah.
I found a room in someone's house, which was very favorable to me.
Yeah.
I was like a princess. I had a nice house. I had a fine room. I had a piano and a swimming pool.
How about that?
I drove myself to the clinic every morning. Then
yeah.
My job was to go shopping, feed myself, and go to the beach.
Great.
So this was, you know, this wasn't so bad. My husband came down every weekend, and I was good.
That's great.
But the people who were in the clinic, now here I was kind of on a holiday. The people in the clinic were still working.
Yeah.
So here they were having their cancer treatment for half a day, and the rest of the day they were back at work.
I'll be darned.
I didn't know how they did it.
Yeah.
But they all did it.
Yeah. It's not like chemotherapy where you go to bed for two or three days afterwards.
The clinic in Florida is a party.
Yeah.
It's set up that way. It's very social.
Uh-huh.
Everybody's upbeat. Everybody is, it's a very user-friendly place. We're comfortable. There's a little room if you want a little bit more privacy.
Yeah.
You can watch movies if you want. I play chess with somebody every morning.
Well, great.
Like, I had a very good life there.
Yeah, how long did you stay there in the vicinity?
I was there just for 4 months, and then I went home.
Okay, so you went through September, I guess.
Yeah, at the end of September, I went home. I only missed 2 days out of the whole 4 months. I had a few weddings to go to.
Okay.
So I took off. But other than that, I was there continuously. It was a way of life for me. It was very pleasant, as I said. I don't know anybody who goes through standard chemo and goes to the beach in the afternoon. Or to work.
Well, for anyone who could not, say, afford to take 4 months out of their life and go down there and live in the area, is it possible to get treated there in a shorter period than that, do you think?
Well, let's put it this way. If the job is half done,
mm-hmm.
then you really have a problem.
Right.
It's like I'm a chiropractor. Do I send somebody home with half a backache?
Yeah,
I hear you. I already fixed the problem. Some people like to leave before their problem is fixed, and then I know I'm going to see them in a few weeks with the same thing coming back.
Yeah, because a lot of what he does apparently is only possible in the clinical environment, right? It's not something you can take home and do at home.
You're having IV treatments.
Yeah, sure.
So you need to, I mean, who's going to administer it themselves?
Okay, can you give people an idea of the approximate cost of this if they elect to do this?
Well, I will put it in this perspective. I'll speak from a patient, and then I'll give you dollars. It didn't matter to me how much the treatment cost.
Right.
Because I really wanted to survive and want to survive. Treatment is very, very expensive. $300 to $400 a day.
Mm-hmm.
$100 maybe sometimes once a week you need a blood test.
Right.
Sometimes they're covered by insurance.
Yeah.
Out of my pocket, being a Canadian in an American health system, it cost me $300 to $400 a day.
I see.
My money is not at par with yours, and right now it would cost me 25% more.
I see.
I would still go down and do the treatment because it doesn't matter to me what kind of a house I live in if I'm not going to be living above ground.
Right, I hear you.
So you don't really know what it's like to have a pistol at your head unless you've been given a diagnosis.
Yeah.
You can speculate. You can think it's going to go away. I don't know why you would, or you can face the reality. The big problem with patients, and including myself, is denial. It's stage one. My denial was from the summer before in 2007 until January 2008 when I decided to go for a mammogram.
Yeah.
A big chunk of time, it put me into stage 2 out of stage 1, probably.
I
but
see.
I was sure I had a tumor in the summer. I have good fingers. I could feel it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So if somebody says, well, I'll just wait and think, that's called denial. The next stage is depression, where you think you're going to die.
Yeah.
And if you don't think you're going to die, all you have to do is visit an oncologist, and they'll make sure that you feel you're going to die before you leave their office.
Yeah, they'll give you the death sentence.
That's part of your protocol. So
right.
I'm not making fun, only I addressed it when I was there.
Yeah.
I said, why are you talking to me like that? Why are you robbing me of all my hope?
Yeah.
They say, we want you to know that, that you're going to die without our treatment.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people don't have that confidence to speak up to the oncologist. They just accept that death sentence and go off and perform it. You know, it's incredible.
That's right. Well, they gave me a recurrence rate of 10 years from now, in spite of what they would do for me. And I told them, why would I shop somewhere where I'm getting 10 years or 5 years? I was 53. I said, I'm not even going to get to 60. That's not good for me.
Yeah.
I don't want what you have to sell.
Right. Here, here.
Right? So anyway, that was my headspace when I was there.
Yeah. Well, I'm talking, folks, to Dr. Judy Rosenberg Ben-Israel from Toronto. She is a chiropractor there. And we're talking about Dr. Carlos Garcia, who I interviewed earlier in this show. And she is an actual consumer of his practice and graduated from his clinic in September last year and is pretty well on her way to healing. But let's talk about that for a minute, Dr. Judy. How do you feel as far as how close are you to complete healing, cancer-free status?
Well, it's kind of a mindset. I'm 100%, 100, not 99, 100% confident that I'm cured. I don't like the word remission.
Yeah.
I think that's bad luck, and that's bad programming in your brain.
Right.
Part of the game, and cancer recovery is a game. A big part of it is believing that you're going to be healed.
Yeah.
If you don't, and even 1% of you doesn't, you might not win the game.
Yeah, okay.
And you have to bring your mental state to the point where you believe that you're just going to live to be 100 years old, and that's it.
Yeah.
And that was my first lesson in the clinic, that I had to be a real bitch to my body. Those are the words. And I didn't know what that meant. But I know what it means today. It's like I have this coat of armor around me
right. That
nothing can touch me. I feed my body only good things for it. I have no problem knowing that I'm not going to have a piece of chocolate cake, a sandwich that you might be eating at lunch. I have no problem with that because whatever I put in my body is good.
Yeah, great. Well,
and I can sleep at night.
Yeah, you fit the exact mold of the people that I know that recover. And this may be reassuring to you, but they seem to have two things in common. The first one is they've taken charge of their own health care and realized that they're the only ones that can heal themselves. You know, and the second part is they are 100% committed to some regimen, and they know it's going to heal them, and that's exactly where you are, sounds like.
You asked me the question about money before. It doesn't come into the equation.
Yeah.
Because when you have this kind of drive behind you to survive, it doesn't matter what it costs because the money will come from somewhere.
Yeah.
People can raise money. They go to churches. They can have fundraisers on their behalf. I've been to something like this for people wanting bone marrow transplants, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Where the community is brought into it. So the first thing is, do you want to survive?
Sure.
Money is not part of this because it always comes to be that the person will find their savings from somewhere. A relative will come in.
Yeah.
There's a community that you live in. But there's always something that can pull you through.
Yeah, that's a great message for people because they need to believe that the resources are going to appear. And this type of clinical help for many, many people is very important and very necessary. And I'm just delighted. We're talking about, of course, the Dr. Carlos Garcia's clinic, Utopia Wellness, and if you go to the website, utopiaawaits.com, you'll find video recording that Dr. Judy Rosenberg, the lady I'm talking to right now, put on Dr. Garcia's website. So you can see her face-to-face, if you will, on your computer, and go take a look at that, utopiaawaits.com. Really interesting website covering Dr. Garcia's clinic. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Judy. It's been a wonderful lesson talking to you in recovery, and particularly the mental state that goes with that. It's really super important, and thank you for sharing your experience with people. I'm sure they'll benefit from it greatly.
And thank you for having me.
Yeah, we'll talk to you again soon, Dr. Great. Judy. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to How to Live Cancer-Free with Bill Henderson.